Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Mem Zayin Amar Beis, the bottom line. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us about the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If Kinyan Peiros, if somebody only has ownership in a property for the Peiros, that what is produced will be considered his. What is the halacha? Does such an individual bring Bikurim from the field of the Kare and say the Parashas Bikurim? Or does somebody who brings fruit from such a field maybe Ve'ena Kare Machloikus, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And the Gemara says that this Machloikus, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is really connected to another Machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the concept of Kinyan Peiros. Ditmar was taught, Hamoicha Sodeyu, if somebody sells his field, does mancha Yovel Noig. So obviously, when the halachas of Yovel are in place, so when the Yovel year comes, the halacha is that all fields return to the original owner. And therefore, the question that the Gemara deals with is, the person who owns a field in the time of Yovel actually only has a Kinyan Peiros. We would probably call it a lease. He only has a lease in that field because when Yovel will come, he's going to have to return the field. So the question is that considered a situation where a person who has the lease is considered the owner of this property, and therefore when he brings Bikurim from this property, he will bring it to Kairi and say the Parashat Bikurim or not. The person brings Bikurim and says the Parashas Bikurim. Reish Lakish's opinion is, maybe Ve'ena Kairi. He brings Bikurim, but he doesn't say the Parashas Bikurim. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevi V'Kairi, because he's of the opinion that Kinyan Peiros, even though the person who owns this property is only getting the Peiros, like we explained, he's really just leasing the property. Kinyan Aguftam, it's considered as if he is the owner of the property. Shlokisham Mevi Ve'ena Kare, because his opinion is that since he only has a Kinyan Peiros, so a Kinyan Peiros, Lafka Kinyan Aguftam, says the Gemara V'tzricha. Why did we have to have the same Machloikis twice? This machloikus that we learned in our previous year, if kinyan aperis is kinyan aguf, when somebody only leased the property, and the second machloikus is regarding yovel. Answers the Gemara, if dimit mevahi, if we only had the halacha, the Gemara that we learned in our previous year, there we could make an argument, behi kama Reish Lakish, the ki kanachis, when this person who only has a kinyan aperis in this property, adapted the Peri Kanachas. He recognized that he's not the owner of the property. Ava Bahach, in the case where somebody buys a piece of property in the time that Yovel is in place, but when he buys the piece of property, he thinks that he is the owner of the property, and he has good reason to believe he's the owner of the property. Because when somebody only has Kinyan Peiros in a property, he recognizes that his ownership in this property, this is the explanation that the Tzoyis gives, that his ownership in this property is limited, and he's not allowed to make any physical changes in the property. He's not allowed to dig or do other things in the property. But when he buys a field in the time of Yovel, he is allowed to make physical changes in the property till the time of Yovel. And therefore, the halachi, that's why he feels much more of an ownership. Ava b'hach, and therefore in the case that he bought the property in the time of Yovel, the adati, the gufa konachas, he has rights to make physical change to the property. Maybe in such a situation, eim amoydele Rabbi Yochanan, that even though he only has a kinyan peiros, and even though when Yovel will come, he will have to return the property, still it should be considered as if he's the owner. And could not just bring Bikurim, but say the Parshas Mikra Bikurim. V'yitn b'ha, if we only had the case that we learned in today's shir, the case of Yovel, and a suggestion could be made, b'ha kama Rabbi Yochanan, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says the Parshas Bikurim should be said. Ava b'hach, eimem moideleil Rish Lakish, in the case that where the person, only by Yovel, as we explained, he has a real ownership in the property. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says that he says the Parshas Mikra Bikurim. Av b'hach, in the case where he knows that he his ownership in the field is limited only to Kinyan Peiris. Maybe in such situation, Rabbi Yochanan agrees to a Rish Lakish that maybe ve'ena kaira tzricha. That's why it was necessary to mention both cases and teach us that in both cases we have this machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. Toshma. So the Gemara continues teaching us based on the Mishnah Bikurim Perek Aleph Mishnah Yir Aleph. Hakoyin ilan v'kakoy. If somebody buys a tree and he also gets the property under the tree. Mevi v'kayri. The halacha is that he says the parashas Mikra Bikurim. He brings the Bikurim, the Kairi, and he says the Parashas Mikra Bikurim. So we see clearly that even though this property is going to return to the owner by Yovel, still, even though it's going to return by the owner of by Yovel, he's still maybe the Kairi. And it says the Gemara Hachamai Skinan, the Shein HaYovel Noig. It's talking about when Yovel is not in effect, because Yovel is only effect when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. Here, when not all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, then Yovel doesn't apply. The Ritva says, from here we see that the Gemara, by giving this answer, that Hochab Maiskinen, Bezmanch Ein HaYovel Noig, the Gemara could have, if it was correct, says the Ritva, has said that the buyer and the seller stipulated when they made the deal that this field should not be subject to Hilchus Yovel. The fact that the Gemara didn't make such, given such a teretz, because as we discussed when we learned the Halachas of Shemitah, that one can make a stipulation, Amanash Loi Teshmetenu Shviyas, that Shemitah should not be effective in this loan, and we learned that that's an effective stipulation. From here, the Gemara, not saying this teretz, seems to teach us, says the Ritva, that one cannot make such a stipulation. And explains that the reason one can not make such stipulation is for a number of reasons. One is the whole purpose of Yovel is to remind us and teach us that that everything really belongs to Hashem. And nobody can make a stipulation against that principle. The Ramban says that here we apply the concept of Kol Milsa D'Amar Rachmana Loi Savid. Anything that the Torah doesn't want us to do, I Ovid Loi Mahani. You can't go against what the Torah wants. However, that there are Rishonim that disagree and want to suggest that such a stipulation would be effective. Toshma. So it continues the Gemara. Toshma. The Braisa teaches us. Hakoina shtei alonos b'toch sadei shel chaveri. If somebody buys only two trees in somebody else's field, mevi ve'ena kari. He brings the bikurim, but it doesn't say in parashas mikra bikurim. Hashloisha. Clearly the stipulation, the indication is that had he had such rights to three trees, hashloisha mevi ve'kari. Aye, what about the issue of Yovel? Isn't that doesn't Yovel make it into a Kenyan Paris? And still we see maybe the Kaire. Says the Gemara Hachinami, we're going to explain that this price as well is much any Yovel. Noig is referring to a time when there's no Yovel, and therefore certainly he becomes the full-fledged owner of the property. Says the Gemara. However, the Hashta the Amr of Chiz, the Gemara gives us a whole different perspective. Machloikus to Machloikus of Yochanan Rish Lakish is B'Yovel Sheni, which means that the Machloikus only is in a time after the first, just the first Pshat and Rashi, after they experienced the first Yovel, and they saw how all properties go back to the owner by Yovel. So people realize that when they buy a property, it's not really fully theirs. And therefore, that's where we have a machloikus. Ava b'yovel rishon, the first yovel that took place in Eretz Yisrael, that people did not recognize and realize because they never experienced the Yovel, the Rehakol Mevi V'Kairi, the Katala Samach Datayu, since they never experienced a Yovel, nobody thinks about the property as something that they're not going to have forever. So now we can reconcile all these Mishnayos. Ha, these Mishnayos that say Mevi V'Kairi are talking about Yovel Rishon, where the person doesn't experience and realize that the property is going back. The Rav Shlokish, who said that the prop you don't say Mikra Bikurim, is Yovel Sheni, after people already recognize what Yovel means. The Rambam has a different interpretation. The explanation that we just gave is Rashi's explanation. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam explains that Yovel Rishon means the first time the seller experienced Yovel with this field. It's not the experience of Yovel in general. It's experiencing Yovel with this field. The Tveris Yaakov gives a third explanation. He says, during the time of the second base of Mikdash, Yovel was typically not practiced. Because as we said earlier, Yovel is only in effect when most of Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. But there were certain periods during the time of the second base of Mikdash where most of Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, and Yovel was practice. Says the Tveris Yaakov, that's what the Gemara means to seal. Say, that if the field was purchased before Bezdin's decision to reinstate Yovel, so then it won't go back to the original owner at Yovel, since it was purchased in a time when Yovel wasn't in effect, and the purchaser expected it to be with him forever. However, if the field was purchased at a time when Yovel was in effect, so the person who purchased it knows that it's going back to the original owner by Yovel, in such a case, the halacha would be mevi ve'ena kairin. There are two types of property in Eretz Yisrael. One is a stei achuza, which is a field that somebody got the Yerusha from his forefathers and passed it on to his Yarshim. And the other is a stei mikna, a field that somebody bought as a real estate transaction. And of course, as we've been learning in our shiur today, such a field goes back to original owners by Yovel. When somebody has such a property and he's magdish it, there are very different halachas. If somebody was magdish a stei achuza, and he didn't redeem it back from Hegdish before Yovel, and then the treasurer of Hegdish sold it, the halacha is that that field cannot be redeemed anymore by the original owner. And therefore, when Yovel comes, it doesn't go back to its original owner, it goes back to Hegdish. And it's distributed amongst the Kohanim. As the Torah Kedosha says, V'lo yigal as a soda, if he doesn't redeem that field, and the Hegdish sells the field to someone else, the original owner does not have the opportunity to redeem it anymore. When Yovel comes, the field reverts back to Hegdish. It's distributed amongst the Kohanim. However, if you have a stei mikna that you sold, and the buyer was magdish it and never redeemed it, and now the Hegdish received it and sold it, when Yovel comes, it reverts back to its original owners. As the Pasuk says, V'mestei miknosoi shloi mestei achuzosoi yagdish l'shem, b'shnas ha-yovel yoshev la'asod la'ashakenei me'itoi la'ashaloi achuzos ha'aretz. Says the Gemara, Lem Katanoi, after understanding these introductory remarks, the Gemara wants to say that this machloikus about kinyan aperis ke kinyan aguf is actually a machloikus tanon. Because the Mishnah Masechta Erchin, Daf Chav Vav Amabeis, teaches us, Menayin l'lekech sodomi aviv, if somebody purchased a field from his father, so what is the status of this field? The status of this field is stei mikna. He didn't get it from his father as a Yerusha, he bought it from his father. Menayin l'lekech sodomi aviv, Vigdisha, and his father still alive, and the son, who's the purchaser of this field, was magdish the field.
Vachach meis aviv, and then his father passes away. Menayin shtei lefon of kastei achuza. How do we know that this should be treated like a stei achuza? Tam loimer vim estei miknosa shloim mestei achuza soy yagdish l'Hashem. And the pasuk by saying ashloim mestei achuza are superfluous. If it's a stei miknitz, it's not a stei achuza. What does the Torah mean with those words? To teach a soda shen ruil is stei achuza. A field that cannot potentially be a stei achuza has the halachas of a stei mikna. Yotza shay ruil is stei achuza. Whereas if you have a property, like the property we are now discussing, that can be a stei achuza, because when the father passes away, he becomes a yorish of that property. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, certainly in this case, the field becomes stei achuza. And certainly if the father passed away, and then he was magdashit, so then for sure it's considered a stei achuza. Rameyer has the halachas of stei achuza, that one was magdash. Rameyer disagrees with Omer. How do we know if somebody purchased a field from his father, meis aviv, vaka chedisha, after the father was nifter, the son was magdashit, menayin shtei lefonav k'stei achuza? How do we know it's treated like a stei achuza? Tamaloyim v'stei mechuzosa, shloim v'stei chuzosa. Again, the words of shloim v'stei chuzosa being extra. Sada she'en ha'stei achuza. Yotza zu she'stei achuza, because he was only magdashit after his father passed away. Vila Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, that don't explain the pasuk that way. And they explain that the pasuk is referring to a situation where even when the son who bought the field, his rights in the field was still only as a stei mikna. If the father passes away, it reverts to have the loch of stei achuza. The case of meis aviv v'achad kedisha, that if they was magdashed only after the father passed away, for that, lo tzricha kra. Says the Gemara, my love, what is the basis, suggests the Gemara, of this machloikus tanoim? My love, b'hokimufki. The Rebbe's sover, Rebbe's opinion is that when one purchases in the time that Yovel is in effect, a field that's only kinyan aperis. So when the son purchased from the father this field, his ownership is only kinyan aperis, because it's only his till Yovel. Kinyan aperis, kinyan aguftami. But Rebbe's opinion is that a kinyan aperis is equivalent as to full-fledged ownership. Ubaha, that's why, in this case, the Mises Aviv Huda Loyars Loymidi. When his father passes away, he already had before that a Kinyan Aguf. And therefore, till his father passes away, when his father passes away, it didn't enhance his ownership of the field. And therefore, the field remains a stay mikna. Vilkach, Meis Aviv Vachkach Chigdisha, if his father passed away and then he was Magdish. And therefore, since the death of his father did not, because Kenyan Paris is Kenyan Aguf, did not enhance his ownership of the field, that's why Tzarech Kross, so if it's a stei mikna, then it shouldn't have the halachas of stei achuza, so we need a pasuk to teach us that no. The Torah tells us a special rule that it ought to be treated like a stei achuza. Whereas, suggests the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon Savri, Kinyan Paris lafka Kinyan Aguf dami. That just because you have a Kinyan Paris, it's not considered that you are ownership in the field. Ubaha, and therefore b'misis ha'av hashtu de kayaris. So certainly the death of the father enhances his ownership of the field. Because till now it was a stay mikna. A stay mikna is only a Kinyan Paris. And since a stay mikna is only a Kinyan Paris, it's a lower level ownership. And therefore, when his father, because it's only Kinyan Paris, and therefore when his father passes away, hashtu de kayaris, and his ownership gets enhanced to a Kinyan Aguf. Vilkach meis aviv akach chedisha, if his father passed away and then he was magdish, so of course, now it is by him a stei achuza, and that it should be treated like a stei achuza, for that lo tzricha kra, I don't need a pasuk. The chi is to cross, so when do I need a pasuk? To tell us that even if Igdisha, when he was magdashit, when it was only by him, the son, a stei mikna, because his father had not yet passed away, And then Meisav of his father passes away. So when he was Magdashit, it was a stay Mikna. And now after his father passed away, whatever he did already. Itzruk, the Pasuk teaches us that no, since now his ownership becomes the ownership of Stei Chuzah, even though he doesn't actually have the field because he was Magdashit, still the Torah treats it like a Stei Chuzah in this case, and it has the halachas of a Stei Chuzah. Suggests the Gemara, that this Machlokes is connected to our subject of Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Aguf, to which says the Gemara, Amrav Nachum Yitzchak Lo'olam Emloch Ba'alma Kasavar Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Aguf Tami. Under normal circumstances, Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon will agree that a Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf. For Hocha, Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon that say that even if he was Magdashit when it was a stay Mikna, but then his father died, it reverts to have the halacha of a stay Chuzah. It's for a different reason that they explained this way. They found a pasuk to teach them that ought to be the halacha. Because lichta rachmana, it would be adequate if all the Torah was talking about that he was magdashit after his father died, it would be adequate for lichta rachmana for the Torah to write, im estei muknasa shleyes chuzasoi. Why did the Torah add the words mistei chuzasoi? To teach us, Sadish ain't really a stay achuza, a field that he can't have any stay achuza at all in it. Why? Because he bought it from a stranger, Ratsa, but when he bought it from his father, Sheruili a stay achuza, so there was always this potential that's going to be a stay achuza. So therefore, the Torah is teaching us a halacha that not only if the son was magdashit after the father passed away, is it treated like a stei achuza that was made hegdish? But even if he was magdashit before the father passed away, and then the father passed away, and he was magdashit even before the father passed away, it will be treated like a stei achuza that one was magdish. Rabbi Yosef, ilav d'Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If not that we have Rabbi Yochanan teaching us that kinyan peiros kinyan aguf dami, that if one only has a kinyan peiros in a property, that locha considers it like he has a kinyan aguf, like matzah yadav raglav beis medrash. Rabbi Yochanan would not be able to be consistent in his explanation of how lochas that he's taught us other way. Damar of Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The locha here is regarding Achim Shechalko. Father passed away, and they divided the Yerusha. And there's a question, which we often discuss, if we say Yesh Breira, if we say that there's retroactive designation, then the halacha is that what each brother got as a share was always his. If we hold, however, Ein Breira, it's a deal that really we can't definitively say that the part that this brother got was always his and that the part that this brother got was always his. Rather, they made a deal. What would be the nafkamina? They're treated like lakuchas, like the people who made a deal and they purchased from each other, each one purchased from each other. And since it's considered like that, machziran zebi yovel, the halachas of yovel would apply. And there's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means when it says machziran zebi yovel. The simple explanation of the Gemara of machziran zebi yovel says that, like any property that we've been discussing in our shiurim, when Yovel comes, they revert back to the original. When Yovel comes, they revert back to the original owner. And what that would mean in our Gemara is that when Yovel comes, the entire division of the field is undone, and we start all over again. That's the Pashto Pshat. Another Pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest, Machzirin Zel Zebi Yovel, they each switch with each other when Yovel comes, the two brothers divided the property. Now when Yovel comes, they divide it, they switch. One, each brother gets the other one's chelik. A third pshat that I saw in Machzirin Zel Zebi Yovel is that they pro forma switch, because we want to follow the halachas of Yovel. But after they perform a switch in order to technically follow the halachas of Yovel, then each one gets his property back. That when Yovel comes, we just go through a pro forma switch, but then we go right back to where we were. Machzirin zelze biyovel. Now says the Gemara, v'isal kedatech. If we're going to say that a kinyan pairs lavka kinyan aguftami, so everybody who owns a property will never really be considered the owner of the property, because even if you got a property in Yerusha, it's not really yours only until yovel. So who is the person? And if you only have a kinyan of Paris, we're going to say that you don't bring, you bring Pekurim, but you don't say the Mikra Pekurim. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, Lemishkachas the Maisi Bikurim, there's no individual that would ever bring Bikurim and say the Pashas Bikurim, Elechad Bechad, if you only had an undisturbed line of one son after another son, Ad Yeshubanun. And therefore, it's difficult to accept that approach. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kro Masnis Mesayla L'Reish Lakish, both the Pasuk and the Braisa support Reish Lakish, that Kinyan Peris is not considered a Kinyan Aguf. Kro, the Pasuk says, B'mis B'shonim Achai Yovel, Tiknim Eis Amisecha B'mis Shnei Tvus Yimachalach, that we look at the property not as the value of the actual property, but we look at it as a lease. How many years there are until Yovel. Now, so we see that the property is really not considered the ownership, under the ownership of the person who bought it. The Torah says that a Bechor gets double portion of what his father leaves over. As the Pasuk says, Bechol Ashi Matzalai. And the Gemara Masechta Bechoris says that where does a Bechor get a double portion and what the father had at the time of death. But a receivable, if the father had a receivable, and that the son doesn't get pishnayim. Masnisa says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Brisa teaches Bechor, Noit l'shnayim, besoda achazeres l'ove b'yovel. A field that's going to return to the father's estate by yovel, the Bechor gets a double portion. Now, if we're going to say that it's really considered always the seller's, and all the buyer has is a kinyan peiris, that's why we can understand that it was considered as part of the father's estate, and that's why he should get a double portion. But if we're going to say that he only has if it's considered that it's the buyer's, so then the son shouldn't get a double portion. Only if it's considered that the buyer only has a kinyan peiris, so that's why we can understand why it's still really in the father's estate, and that's why the Bechor is entitled to do double portion. Amar Abaya, Naktinen, Baal ben Nechsei Ishtai. Another question. How do we look at a husband in the assets of his wife? Tzorach HaShoah, he has to get a special authorization if there's any issue with that, to be able to represent his wife. Now, a husband has a kinyan peiros in his wife's assets. So if we say kinyan peiros ke kinyan aguf, why would he need to get a special hashah? The fact that he needs the hashah is only because, since he only has a kinyan peiros, and the person who's coming with a claim could say, la bal devarim didiyat, who are you? You don't really have any ownership. So this too is a raya that kinyan peiros lav ke kinyan aguf. However, says Abai v'loy amr, t'loy nechsi aperi, that the issue is only about, not about the peiros. I'm nachse, I'm peiri, but let's say the din Torah is about the peiros. So this husband doesn't have to get special authorization to represent his wife's interest. Because me did the mishtoi dina peiri, regarding the peiros, the husband is surely the owner in those assets. Once he's the one that's involved in that din Torah, then the halach is mishtoi din agufa. But in a case where the entire din Torah is on the property itself, even though the husband has a kinyan aperis, since we're learning that a kinyan aperis is lafka kinyan aguf, therefore the husband needs special authorization through our shah
to be the representative regarding this than Torah, because otherwise, Kinyan Peres Lavki Kinyan Aguftami. Hadunlach Hashaleich, Hadunlach Hashaleich, Hadunlach Hashaleich. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to talk about different rules that we've been learning about that were instituted. Hanazakim, somebody who did damage. And as the Achronim point out, what does the Mishnah mention Hanazakim, Beloshin Rabim? So we said that, as we're going to learn when in our Gemara, that when there's a situation of damage, there's a mazik and a nizik. There's the person that did the damage or his property did damage and the victim. So that's why we use Hanazakim. Another halacha is that, as we know, we learn Masecht Baba Kama, there are all types of damage situations. And the Gemara is saying that the halachas that we're learning here apply to all of those types of situations. Hanazakim, Shom Lahem, the way we pay the obligation is Shom Lahem Be'idjus. That if we're going to pay by property, you pay with the best. And of course, we're going to learn in the Gemara, is that the best property of the mazik or the nizik? Or bal chayv, if somebody borrowed money and the loiva is supposed to pay back, and the loiva doesn't have cash available, so we go after his property. When we speak about property, I should have said this, there are three grades of property. Idjus, which means the best, the Beinonis is average, and Ziburus is the worst. A Bal Chayv is paid with the Beinonis. A Ksubas Isha, when a Ksubas Isha has to be paid off, it's paid with Ziburus with inferior grade property. Remeima, Oif Ksubas Isha, a Ksubas Isha is also paid off the Beinonis with the average type of property. Ein nefram nechassim shabadim, b'makom sheyesh nechassim b'nei chroyim, afil en zaburius. The halacha is like this, that when somebody borrows money, there is a lien on his property. And that property on which there's a lien is called nechassim mishabadim. And the halacha is that if a person borrowed money, and there's a lien on his property, and after there's a lien on his property, he owes the money, and he doesn't have any way to pay up his debt. What the halacha tells us is that we go after the mishabadim. But let's say the only property that the person now has is b'nei chayrim. Is the only property he has. The only property he has is low quality property. And the Malva says, I want higher grade property. He says, I don't have any better grade property. I don't have any Beinonis. I sold it all off. Teaches us the Mishnah that if the loiva has any property available, the halacha is we go after that property, even though it's not the grade that the Malva wants. Ein nefram nechsa yisoymim. Whenever yisoymim have to pay off, no matter what type of obligation that they're paying off because they're paying off that the father owed, they always pay the Elam Zaburius. And the Ran says that this is not just halacha, but yisoymim that are paying off their father's obligations. It's halacha for all yarshim. The halacha is that if somebody stole a field, the Gemara Masecht Baba Metzia, Daf Yudalit Amud Beis, teaches us this halacha. The Gemara Masecht Baba Metzia teaches us, if somebody stole a property, and then he sold it to someone else, and he sold it with achrayus. And what that means is, that if the person from whom it was stolen shows up, the person who sold the field has to return the money to his buyer, and the buyer gives the field to the back to the person from whom it was stolen. But what happens if the buyer had made improvements in the field? And now he says, well, I'm going to give back the field. The person from whom I purchased it is going to return the money that I paid for it. But what about all of the improvements that I made in the field? Where do I get that? So the halacha is that the person from whom it was stolen takes the property back from the buyer and only has to return to the buyer his expenses. He doesn't have to pay back the fact that he improved the field, and he doesn't have to pay back for the fact that the field is worth more. And now, what is the halacha if the person who sold the field, the gazlan, doesn't have the ability to pay back the buyer what he put into the field, but he has other fields from which the buyer could collect? The halacha is he could only collect from the seller's other property for the price of the field, but not for the improvement. Says the Mishnah, Eimet Tzin L'Achilas Peiris, for the Peiris that the person lost, the Shvach Karkos, or the improvements, cannot be taken, that cannot be taken from Nechosim Shabbatim. L'mazon Ha'ishiv Abonis, we don't collect for support. If somebody passed away and he didn't leave over means of support for his wife and daughters, we don't collect that from the Chosim Shabbatim. And all of this was done in a Tikkun Olam, which we're going to explain in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara. V'maitzi Mitzia, if somebody finds something and he goes to return it to the person who lost it, and the person who lost it says, you're returning my wallet, and there's $50 in the wallet, but there was $100. So the person is saying, no, I only found 50. So is this a situation of moed b'miksas? And he should have to swear? Said, Allah is lo yishav mitay, took an oilam, as we're going to learn the Gemara. If we're going to make him swear, then he's not going to want to do the mitzvah, shava saveda. And therefore, even if one can make an argument that he should have to swear, then they took an oilam, Chazal took away that obligation. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said that if somebody was damaged, he collects his damages from the idyas. And the Mishnah said, "Mnei tikkun olam." Ask the Gemara, it's not Mnei tikkun olam. It's the Raisa. Doesn't the Pasuk say, "Meitav sadehu, or meitav karma, yishalmeim"? So why do I need to, why does the Mishnah say that this was instituted, Mnei tikkun olam? It's a Pasuk in the Torah. Answers the Gemara, Amabailah, Tzricha el Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, when we speak about Meitav, whose Meitav do we look at? What is Meitav for the Nizik, for the victim, or what was Meitav for the Mazik, for the person who did the damage? Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, but the Raisa, but the Nizik Shaminim. We have to consider what is Idyas as far as the victim is concerned, the Nizik. Kamash Malon teaches us the Mishnah, Mnei Tikkun Olam, we don't look at what's idyos for the nizik, we look at shaminim but the mazik, what's considered idyos for the mazik. And the Gemara explains itself. My Rebbe Shmuel, the Tanya, the Pasuk says, regarding an animal that does damage in somebody else's field, the Torah HaKadosh says, Kiyavi is soda, a kerem, the shilchas be'eroi ubeir b'soda eichar, his animal does damage in someone else's field. Meitav sadehu or meitav karma yishalem. Says the Gemara, meitav sadehu shal nizik or meitav karma shal nizik. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we evaluate it according to what is considered idyos as far as the nizik is concerned. Rabbi Kivai meloi ba hakosev to teach us el ligvos nizokin min idyos. When we speak about this, we speak about what is considered idyos for the mazik, for kav chomer, and certainly this is the halacha when we speak about hegdish, which we'll speak about in a moment later. Rabbi Shmuel asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, ochel shmeina, if the shor ate a very good property of the nizik, mishalm shmeina, that's what the owner, the mazik, will have to pay the value of a very good piece of property. And then if he ate a poor quality property, is the halacha still going to be the mishalim shmeina? He has to pay back as if he ate a high quality property? Doesn't make any sense. The pasuk is referring to the shor
having damaged a row in the field. And we're not quite certain. What was the grade of the property that this animal damaged? The Mishalam and Meitav, we evaluate it as Meitav. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Says Rava. Ilo yadin the kechusha achel. How we know for sure that he ate a poor quality? Mishalam kechusha. So that's what he has to pay back, according to that value. Hashtad the lo yadin and Mishalam shmeina. But isn't there a rule throughout Shas that a metz mechaver all of a raya? The Nizik says, you damaged me. And now the question is, what grade of property did my animal damage? A better grade or a weaker grade? And because we don't know, you treat him as if he did damage to a better grade? Elo Amar Rav Acha v'Yaakov, the loch is, that's not what the Pasuk means. Hoch v'mayiskinen, shoysu idyas the Nizik, what's considered high grade for the Nizik, is considered kizaburis the Mazik. The Mazik obviously has much better properties than the Nizik. And what's considered idyas for the Nizik is for the Mazik that considered zaburis. Rabbi Lezer Omer, with the Nizik Sheminin. And the Pasuk says that if the Mazik has properties that are equivalent in value to what is idyas by the Nizik, then he has to pay what's considered idyas for the Nizik, not any less. But that's all he has to pay. Rabbi Kiva says no, that you have to pay, but the Mazik Sheminin. If the Torah says that the Mazik has to pay Meitav, if the Mazik has to pay the best quality, then he has to pay what's the best for him, irrespective of what is considered the best for the Nizik. However, the Chasam Sofer says, what's going to be the halacha if the Mazik has cash? So the Chasam Sofer says that if the Mazik has cash or metaltlin, in those cases, the halacha is that the Nizik has the right to determine how he wants to get paid, through cash or through property. But according to Tosfos, he says that's included in the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, if the Mazik has cash, he could choose to pay cash, and the Nizik cannot say, I want to get karka and I want to get idyas. And according to Rabbi Kiva, when the Torah says, Meitav karmai, Yishalei Meitav Kabmar Meitav Sadeyu, the Nizik has the right to say, I don't want cash, I want your high quality real estate.